This is Carl Thomas. I'm the data reporter here at EG, and I'm joined by
Victoria Bajella, and I head up the London office data team here at EG.
Victoria, we've just gotten through the summer months. I've had a great summer, went to Indonesia, went to Milan, and you've been in Barbados, haven't you?
Yes.
We've been all over the place, but clearly the industry hasn't, and the industry has been very busy.
Yes, it's been the busiest quarter so far this year, 3.2 million square feet let out over the quarter. And that's a high we've not seen since the end of last year. And it's up 50% on this time last year, where we saw the referendum vote having an impact on leasing activity across London. And looking at each of the markets individually, it was a really good quarter for City Core, with take up over 1.1 million square feet for the quarter. So that's up. Back up at the levels we saw at the end of last year in Q4. A really good continued strong start for the West End, with just short of 730,000 square feet let out over the quarter. And it's been seeing take up in those regions since Q1, which is really strong three quarters for the West End. And even better take up than we saw over last year, where it was in the 500,000 to 600,000 region for the various different quarters. And a lot of this activity was pre-lettings.
Is that surprising?
No, I don't think it's that surprising. I did say a couple years ago about how we would likely see more pre-letting activity. I think pre-letting is a popular option for tenants, especially in the environment where we're moving to more, it being more about the building rather than the location primarily. Pre-letting presents a fantastic opportunity for tenants to put their own stamp on that space and get prime space in the market that they're looking to be in. So that's not surprising, and especially in markets where it's hard to get those larger floor plates, I'm not surprised that it's becoming a popular option.
But is the fact that we're seeing such high numbers a surprise, especially in a summer quarter?
Well, that's interesting, because traditionally the summer quarter is thought to be the least active or the quieter quarter of the year. But over the last 16 years we've been recording take-up across central London, this hasn't been the case in 9 out of those times. So it seems to be a bit of a misconception that this is a quieter quarter. I think maybe because August tends to be a bit more of a quieter month, that's why that's come about, but it was certainly not the case this quarter. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of deal volume, it's the fourth most active quarter in the past 12 years.
Yeah, there's been an increase in the amount of deals that have been done to the TMT sector and the smaller space band of around like 10,000 square feet and lower. So, it just shows that London demand for London spaces has continued. And that hasn't been on decline. It might not be for the larger spaces, but there's certainly still demand for the small spaces, 5,000, 10,000 kind of region.
Because that's kind of interesting, because every quarter you see these numbers and someone will say, oh yeah, if it weren't for this huge deal out there, then the numbers would be down. But if you look at the numbers, the small numbers are also pretty robust here.
Yeah, a good example of that is the City Fringe, for example, where overall square feet let out over the quarter was low, but if you actually look at the number of deals that were done, that was really robust. And again, that was really driven by TMT, smaller TMT occupiers who were going for that space around the 5,000 square feet region. So I think the Brexit concerns are not really affecting commitments to smaller size spaces. That's continued to go on.
But City Fringe is interesting because it did have the lowest quarter since Q3 2012, and it was 42% below the 5-year quarterly average. Is that a reflection of demand or supply, do you think?
I think this is more of a reflection of the supply situation in City Fringe. If you look at the amount of space that was under offer, it's the highest we've had since Q2 2015. It was really high in Q2 2015 because of Ashurst being under offer at the London Fruit and Wool Exchange, then going on further to let that in the following quarter. That really shows that there's still a lot of demand in that market. It's up at space under offer, this market's up around the 450,000 square feet region. So there's certainly not a demand issue there. There seems to be a lot of demand there. It's more, I think, a reflection of the supply. If we look at the City Fringe market at the moment, if you're looking for space over 20,000 square feet, there's probably only around 10 places that could offer you this space if you're really looking strictly at everything over 20,000 square feet. So I think, you know, it's not as big as the city or the West End. So I think it's more a reflection of the supply. But having said that, we've got about 1.3 million square feet due to complete over the next year in City Fringe. So while there might be some supply constraints in the short term, it's not a cause for concern.
Yeah, and it doesn't even come as a surprise because Sean Simons at Colliers International, we actually talked, I think this is the third Loma in a row that we've talked to him because City Fringe just keeps coming up. And earlier this year, we actually asked him, you know, what his prediction is for the end of the year. And he says, and I quote, "By around September or October this year, it will be very difficult for any tenant to acquire 20,000 square feet with immediate occupancy because almost everything will be under offer or let at that stage." And that's kind of come true, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's a real limit on the space over that size in that market for now. But as I've said, you know, there's a huge amount, and 70% of the completions due over the next year or so, you know, that 70% of that space has actually not been pre-let yet. So there's a reasonable quite a bit of supply coming through in the next. So I think this could potentially act as a driver for further pre-letting activity in that market.
I talked to Simon Durkin over at C4th Land today, and I asked him about the City Fringe market because that's where they're based and that's where they do all their business. And here's what he had to say about that market.
I think there are very good reasons why City Fringe or other fringe markets will perform well in the future. You know, we certainly don't believe that when demand does kick back in the occupational markets, it will be demand for the same space that's been demanded in the past. You know, we very much believe in the creative industries and the types of space that creative industries want to occupy. These aren't your large open plan floor plates. You know, these are very, very different buildings that attract these occupiers, and that's very much our niche.
Like that really does confirm what we found in these numbers.
Yeah, about 95% of the deals that were done in that quarter, by the way, were under 10,000 square feet, and that contributed to deal size really dropping over the quarter to the lowest point since we've started recording in 2005.
Can we assume that might be a trend we see in other parts of London, that the deal size are going to get smaller as occupiers consolidate?
Perhaps. I mean, we're moving into space where there's a lot more hot desking and sharing desk and things like that, so people are trying to reduce the amount of like floor print they have and being more economic with the amount of space they're using, but not to these levels where, you know, the average deal size was 2,900 square feet in that market. I definitely think it depends on it's going to depend on which sectors are, it really depends on the sector that's taking space in that market and which market it is in particular. Somewhere like Docklands and Stratford, I would expect it to be on the bigger scale. I wouldn't think that, you know, we'll be seeing smaller deal size as a whole across London.
When we look at the sector breakdown in London over the past year, it has been very firmly in favor of tech, media, all that, but that's not the case this quarter.
Not this quarter. The Deutsche Bank deal, obviously, accounting for a lot of space, that kind of skewed the sector take up in favor of financial sectors this quarter. So 27% went to financial sector. But having said that, twice as many deals were done over this quarter to the TMT occupiers than to finance. And finance, as I've said, it was really pushed by that Deutsche Bank deal, which was over 469,000 square feet. So if you take that to the side, you can really see that the TMT sector continues to be a driver of demand across London.
It was twice as many deals.
Yeah.
Now, availability. Availability is up, and it's the highest it's been for 4 years. Why do you think that is, or what's the key driver here?
I think there's a lot of secondhand space coming onto the market. There's a lot of competition and demand for the new build space and the new refurb side of things, and that's really been driving a lot of the secondhand space that's been coming onto the market as tenants move from the space into new spaces. I think in particular markets like Docklands, there's really been no activity or very little activity this year. I think around less than 10 deals for the whole of the year so far. That has obviously contributed to, you know, the lack of take up there and not keeping up pace with vacations in that market. And I think, you know, there's a lot of relocations and people are moving. People are looking for getting the prime in that market.
And I'd assume that because there is quite a bit of consolidation happening in the market, they're going to smaller spaces.
Yeah, and also we've got, over the next year, we've got quite a lot of completions coming through too, which is contributing to that as well.
Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, actually, MIPIM UK, our editor, Damon Wild, he led a panel about the London office market, and James Locke from Blackstone actually voiced a concern about availability. And here's what he said.
I'm sort of a bit more cynical about it, to be honest, because if you look at the availability forecast, I think it was 14 million square feet of available space with a availability rate of about 7.2%. If you actually dig underneath that, about 67% of that available space is secondhand space. Now, that in itself is basically, from my perspective, probably one of the biggest handbrakes to this sort of optimistic outlook. Because when you look at the space that these guys have all successfully leased in the last 12 months, it's basically grade A space. It's basically today 2 million square foot only of available space in central London, which is a staggering achievement in light of some of the macroeconomic challenges we face. But when you take 9.5 million square feet of potentially obsolete space, the question which I think we all need to ask ourselves as landlords, to answer your original question, is, you know, at what price do we basically pass on the liability to someone else? Because rates are expensive to hold product. Obviously, you've got vacancy costs in terms of your own financing. And when you look at the forecast for rental growth, I think people are yet to sort of absorb what the impact of that grey space, secondhand space could be on the market going forward. So, you know, I think it looks a manageable situation with regards to the occupier outlook. But I think from a landlord's perspective, that secondhand space is something we'll need to very closely monitor.
I think that is really going to be cause concern in terms of the fact that we've got a lot of competition at the top for the prime spaces, which put pressure on the top line headline rents. So we're seeing them stabilise at the moment. And that's a concern for the lower grade of spaces in those markets, because if the headlines are, you know, becoming more stable or dropping and the competition at that end is increasing, then what's happening to lower grades of space, the secondhand grade B space in that market, which there is a lot of.
But there might be demand for that space from smaller occupiers,
yeah,
because they are making up the bulk of the deals now. Maybe that's an opportunity in itself.
It definitely presents an opportunity for landlords to up the offer that they have. And, you know, we've seen rent freeze moving outwards by a month or so, and rents, you know, but it presents an opportunity for landlords to think of ways of attracting tenants to this space, and it does present an economic offer, more economical offer for space in central London. So it has its pros and its cons in terms of, you know, there's a lot of demand at the top, but that presents a lot of, you know, opportunity for tenants to have a lot of bargaining power when it comes to that second-hand space.
With availability rising and take-up rising as well, it presents what seems to be a bit of a contradiction. So I actually asked Simon Durkin about this, and he said that the problem with take-up is that it will necessarily always be positive. And what we should be looking at is net stock absorption, which has actually been down in 2016 and now in 2017 as well.
Yeah, so net stock absorption is actually the difference in occupied space from one period to the next. So it actually takes into account space vacated by occupiers, and it's not simply the aggregate of space taken in the marketplace. Take up, for example, will always be positive. It can only ever be a positive number, whereas net stock absorption is, as the name implies, it's a net figure that takes account of the space vacated.
One thing you do here is you forecast what you would have expected a net stock absorption to be in 2016 without Brexit and what it actually was. And what do the numbers show there?
Well, we built a very robust financial model here that explains net stock absorption very strongly historically. We run that model as of 2015 with forecasts for 2016 for those key variables. That gave us a positive net stock absorption figure of 2.4 million square feet. In fact, from 2016, we obviously knew what had actually happened, and net stock absorption was actually negative 3.2 million square feet. So hence, you know, the difference between the positive 2.4 and the negative figure gives us a lost demand to central London. Now,
to hear the rest of my discussion with Simon about this issue, go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and listen to that podcast about how take-up is clouding some of these trends in the London market. Now, Victoria, should we be talking about investment as well?
Yes, absolutely. This quarter, we've again seen overseas investors really driving that investment activity over the quarter. So over this quarter, without drilling into the exact numbers, if I just take the top 10 deals, that's about 3 billion of the overall 3.9 billion total. Those top 10 were sold to foreign investors. So without even taking a look further into stats, that's already 80% of foreign investment over the quarter. Obviously, it is skewed because we had another trophy sale, just as we did in the previous quarter. So that's continued to go, but I still have my reservations, because if you take away the trophy deal, that's about 1.2 billion taken away from that overall figure. And it's not, I think the market's being driven by these big trophy deals that are going through. Over the quarter there was only two portfolio deals that came to a total of 100 million. In the past we've had a lot more activity in portfolio sales side of things, and in total, I still have my reservations. It's more being driven by these big trophy deals at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose it would be unfair to discount these deals because they do happen and they are big.
Yes.
But at the same time, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, how long can this keep going on?
Yeah.
There isn't an infinite amount of trophy assets out there, so once we run out of walkie-talkies and cheese graters, what happens?
Well, there are a couple of things that are reportedly coming to the market. The Gherkin, which is reportedly to be coming up for sale, and that's around 1 billion. There's 5 Broadgate, and that's 1.1 billion. So there's a few things knocking around, but I'm not sure how long we can maintain this momentum of big deals being done and driving investment over the quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose we'll see how that turns out next quarter and the quarters after. What are your predictions for the rest of the year? Do you think it's going to be? Are we going to draw this year to a close with record numbers of take up and investment? Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't think that we're going to hit record levels. I think there's still a lot of reservation about Brexit. And that kind of thing, even though there is still a lot of confidence in the London office market and people are making those commitments. So I don't think we'll be quite at record levels, but I do think that we'll be at quite healthy levels by the end of the year.
Well, we'll see how all that turns out. Join us again next quarter when we discuss the end of the year. I'm Carl.
And this is Victoria.
Thank you for listening.